Yeah. Hey, welcome everybody. This is the new guy, Alan. And let me tell you, I've got a great show to share today. We had a chance to catch up with the Dean Kirkwright, one of the stars of 2014's Charlie's Farm. He got a chance to share with us some of the behind the scenes stories and working with the likes of Tara Reid and the legendary Can Hodder. This is a movie that was directed by Chris Sun. You may remember Chris Sun from an episode we did a few months ago on his other movie, Boar. Man, if you haven't had a chance to check that one out, you should. Before we get started, though, do follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mutant City Horror. Also, check out Dean's page at Dean Kirkwright so you can keep up with all the amazing stuff that he's got on the horizon. Well, with no further ado, let's do this.
Excited about having a few beers this time.
I'll drink to that. What's up, man? How you been?
Yeah, good. Just enjoying the weather and enjoying everything about Australia and Melbourne, Australia, which is a lovely place, as you know.
Nice.
But yeah, nice. It's good to go down the road of Charlie's Farm again, which seems to always keep popping up in conversation each time I hang out with new people in my life.
Well, you've been talking about doing this with us for a long time, and you know, we've been going back and forth and like, hey, we're going to do it. We should do it. Let's do it. When are we going to do it? I don't know. We'll figure it out. And then finally the other day you're like, now. The time is now. Let's do it now. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's put it together.
I just started hanging out with this person and he hadn't seen the movie and he watched it and he just loved it. And it was good to, you know, we talked on the phone for about an hour and I'm like, oh, you know, like this is good because this is kind of like what the podcasts are like. You know, you talk about the film and it was good to walk down memory lane because this film was like 10 years ago for me. So it's, you know, I've got to kind of remember.
2004? No, when was it?
14.
Yeah. 10 years ago was 2014, man.
Yeah. My time's off.
It's not the 90s. It wasn't the 90s.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but then in my brain it's like math doesn't work.
Well, that being said, Chris Sun did stick to like no CGI and all that, you know, stick to the real 80s way of making horror films, you know, like with prosthetics.
I loved it.
Yeah, they were amazing. Yeah, everything was really well done. We're super clean.
Yeah, especially all the kill scenes, you know, and, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but with a lot of the ripping and the tearing of the flesh and bones and stuff, I was like, dude, right on. The tractor scene was dope, too. I love all of it, man.
I think with Chris Sun, I mean, he loves. Obviously, he's one of Australia's biggest film directors, you know, he's quite big now, but he loves killing people on film. He just loves it. I think all that build up to the kills is the boring part, and when the kills come, I mean, he just loves it. that's his playground.
Yeah, it looks really well on film. I can tell he really gets into it.
Yeah, I'm just praying that we've had this conversation so many times, but I'm praying that you guys saw the good copy because. This movie actually played on television a few times, and I can tell you they went straight to the ad breaks before those certain moments in the film.
I feel like I may have got the good copy, if you will. There's a nice little donkey scene in there.
Yeah, sorry, you got the good copy.
Excellent.
Yeah, there was I took a snapshot of it when I was watching last night. I've been meaning to. I'll probably post it at a certain point, but. Where I was watching it, it said, it had the title of the movie and then below it said unrated. And I was like, good. I got the good copy.
People that are listening to this right now, they're probably like, what are these guys talking about? I mean, it's a horror film about a donkey. What's going on?
So we're talking about Chris Sun's, Charlie's Farm, 2014, starring you. Tara Reid, Sam Curtin, and I forget the other girl's name. I don't have it in front of me.
Sam Coward.
Sorry, yep. Curtin.
Sam Coward. Yep.
So close. And then I don't remember the other girl's name, the fourth.
They had Alira,
so you're gonna
Jakes.
Have to remind me.
Alira Jakes.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and then you had Bill Moseley and Kane Hodder.
Bill.
You know what's so funny is so this is not the first Chris Sun movie that we've reviewed on the podcast. Yes. They actually did Boar like a while ago, which also stars Bill Moseley. And the way that Bill Moseley goes out in this one is not too dissimilar from how he goes out in Boar.
I actually got invited to the premiere of that film. I was very excited because there's actually an actor in that movie called John Jared. And I was so excited to meet him because he's a legend here. He's in that Wolf Creek movie. You know, he's the main character. Scary. Have you seen Wolf Creek?
Absolutely. No, yes. Yeah, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, so that's like probably one of the, you know, biggest horror films that have come out of Australia. It's huge. And yeah, John Jared's in that. And I just couldn't wait to meet him.
I feel like it re-sparked it up.
Hey,
I was just saying, I feel like it re-sparked the whole genre in Australia, kind of.
Yes, it is. Yeah, definitely.
Wolf Creek.
Had a very similar feeling to The Blood Hunt. It was sort of that outback kind of film. But yeah, you know, Ball was great. I loved watching that, especially when you're at a premiere and you look around and there's the characters, they're in the room, you know, with you, and it's cool.
Yeah, you're like, hey, that's you over here. Yeah.
That being said,
yeah, I like it when people still get starstruck.
I was just saying, at the Australian premiere of Charlie's Farm, I sat next to Nathan Jones. So,
how small do you feel sitting next to that dude?
I think that's the reason why I got cast, because he's so huge and it made him look even bigger with my height. And Tara is shorter than me, yeah. So we made him look like an absolute giant. He's huge.
Yeah, Boar was the first time that we came across him as an actor. And when I looked into his, you know, his history and where he's come from and all the things that he's overcome to get where he's at, I was just like, man, what a mountain of a man with a story. And just, that's an awesome dude.
I know.
For reals. But huge as a motherfucker, man. Huge motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. He's so funny in that.
Insane.
We're kind of talking about Boar here, but he was so funny in that scene where he's singing in the car. I mean, that was just hilarious in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit about Charlie's Farm.
So Charlie's Farm...
Give us a synopsis.
Oh, okay, so Charlie's Farm is basically... it's weird because they say a group of young people, but I think the youngest was like 30-something. So a group of young people who are obviously... They're interested in going to this farm to find out if the stories are true. It's a bit like urban legend, you know, you go to this, you know, the word on the street is that there's this person that kills people and he's a giant. And I'm just trying to get my head around it because it was a long time ago. I suppose I spoke probably a lot clearer in interviews back then because it was fresh. But yeah, we basically... It's a road trip movie. We get to the farm and yeah, we get to meet the great Charlie.
Yeah, I couldn't help but notice. I was like, here's another movie with Dean where he's driving, you know, through the outback, through the unknown, and then he just ends up in some shit. It's like, man, Dean's got it bad sometimes.
I was actually the last person to be cast in this movie as well. So, excuse me. Yeah, that was cool because I came on at the very end, and I think they all kind of knew each other from rehearsals or whatever. And yeah, when I rocked up, I was sort of the new guy. And I remember I had a couple of days up my sleeve up in Queensland because I'm from Melbourne. They shot it in Queensland. And I remember getting introduced to Sam Coward, who plays Donkey, who plays my best friend in the film. And I was just like, bro, can I sleep on your couch for the next few days? Because we have 3 days to become best friends. Did we just become best friends? and hopefully, a lot of people in the movie asked me, a lot of people asked me about this movie, and I said, how long have you guys known each other? And I'm like, well, yeah, literally met 3 days beforehand. And on the other side of the coin, Tara and I met 5 seconds before filming the first scene.
Get out of here.
Oh, wow.
Pressure. Yeah, that was a lot of pressure. We literally met just before shooting that movie because she had a bit of a hiccup with the flights or something. But She made it, which is awesome. But yeah, we met literally. It was like, hey, this Dean Tara, cool. And roll cameras, action, boom. It was straight into it.
Damn.
It just goes to show how dynamic that the set can be at one point in time to another. In the same scene, even.
Yeah, which is cool because I got to say, man, I like maybe like 2 minutes into the movie, and I know this one came before Blood Hunt or Slaughterhouse, but I was like, damn, Dean can act, dude. Like, I really enjoy watching you on screen, man. And I sometimes think you don't give yourself enough credit, dude. You kill it on screen.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. it's tough. It's tough. I appreciate that, but it's really tough to, you know, to, because when you finish a movie, you're unemployed and you're going to try again. And around that time, I was actually up against all leading men. I was going for leading man roles. So, you know, you got your Chris Hemsworths and all those guys you're up against. And it's, once you get to that level, it's tricky. It's hard. So, but thanks. I did go a little bit all out with this one because I didn't have much time. So I did get a personal trainer to work on my look for screen, you know, because, hey, I'm doing a movie with
Reed
and Bill Moseley and Kane Hodder and all those guys. I'm thinking, I've got to look good. This is obviously going to be big. So I got a personal trainer and she helped me.
Right.
It was not fun, though, running up the hills. yeah, just it was just a blast. Chris Sun's a legend. Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
There are a couple scenes in the movie, though, where, like, I mean, you had to change from being happy, kind of like, to now exploring to sudden fear. And you could just to see that transition occur in such a quick period of time. Like, kudos, man. Like, I found myself looking up other things. Like, where, what else can I see this type of role for you?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's it. You know, I think you mentioned, I think we actually shot Blood Hunt before this movie. We did. I actually shot Blood Hunt before this movie, believe it or not. Because I do remember sending Chris Sun because I knew Tara was in the film, and I sent Chris Sun a snippet of Blood Hunt with me and Carly Williams, who kind of looks like Tara Reid.
Okay.
And just to give him a sort of a visual of like, hey, this is me in Blood Hunt. So Blood Hunt and all of these other movies is just practice before the big game. So when I walked on to Charlie's Farm, it was just like, been here, done that, let's go again. I'm ready, pumped up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Look good.
But, yeah.
For you, because you said you were the last one on, so... was it that someone approached you and said, hey, do you want to audition for this? Or did you find it somewhere and were like, I want to be part of that? Like, how did this come together for you?
I didn't really know anything about the project. I had heard on the grapevine that Tara Reid was coming to do a movie in Australia. And I was a massive Tara Reid fan. I'm a massive, you know, I loved watching her in American Pie. I think I had a poster over on my wall. I'm that age. That American Pie came out when I was like 16 and it was a perfect time. And I didn't really think much of it because, like, what's the odds? You know, they're probably going to go for someone bigger and, you know, a named actor. So I never really thought much about it. And I was approached by a couple of the producers and they got in touch and they said, we just stumbled across your page, I guess, because acting page set up or whatever, and how would you like to audition for this project? And I'm like, yeah, cool, like when? Now, today, kind of thing. So here's the audition. And it was actually
right now. Yeah,
it was on a Monday and it was the day of the Oscars. I was sitting down, I was watching the Oscars, and that was motivating the crap out of me. I'm sitting there going, you know, because I spoke to this producer who said, you know, like we want you audition, obviously, and Tara Reid. And I actually remember saying, it was Chris Sun, and I remember saying, hang on, whoa, take a few steps back. The real Tara Reid? And he goes, yeah, the real Tara Reid. I'm like, well, hang on a minute. Like, okay, you got my attention now. And then half of me thought, is this real? Is this a prank? Maybe this is a prank. And then, yeah, I continued watching the Oscars. And as I was watching the Oscars, I was like, what am I watching the Oscars? I've got to do this audition. I've got, you know, and I went all out. I ended up getting an actor who kind of looked like Tara Reid to read opposite me in the audition. So the audition was the scene when I'm under the table when Charlie's walking around the room and where I'm like, do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
I'm under the table.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that was my audition. And I was a garbo at the time. I was running behind a garbage truck. That's what I did for a day job at the time. So,
all right.
So I remember putting the audition in and I couldn't work out how to send the audition tape. 2014, I wasn't real savvy with sending in tapes and I just could not get the tape. And I was trying, I was ringing all my nerdy friends that knew about this stuff. And I think it got through to Chris Sun at about 12 o'clock. And he literally got it and said, I'll get back to you. And I'm like, I'm not going to get this part. Like, it was. And I was running beside the garbage truck and the phone call came through and I just got out of the garbage truck. And the garbage truck driver could see me and I'm like, yes, sort of thing. So, nice. And you know, the television, the news, the press came out and did a big interview with me in the garbage truck because it was like, did you know Australia's next big thing could be taking out your trash?
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah, so I was all over the news. And
hell yeah.
It was pretty cool. It was surreal and it all happened so fast. I had a few days to get up there, get the body right, and just as you can imagine, as you've seen the film, I have a lot of dialogue. I've got a lot of scenes. So I had to learn a lot quickly. Yeah, so...
It's weird because I was looking through the IMDb and I was I know you and I were talking about Sam and his character Donkey and so when I was watching the movie I was like, oh, okay, that's Donkey, that's Sam. I was like, and I know he's a radio personality out there in Australia, right?
He got the radio personality after Charlie's Farm. So he was heavily involved in theater. Ah,
got it.
Yeah, he was like heavily involved got in it. Stage productions. Yeah, he never done any, I don't think
you,
he never,
you can tell because
in front of the camera.
That's crazy. I mean, he acts really well in it. He looks like he's been doing it for a really long time. So, you know, despite the fact that he wasn't in front of the camera, you know, even on stage or whatever, the chops, he still got the acting chops. You can see it. And he did really well. So I was looking at, you know, just kind of the page to see who's all done what. And I noticed that, and this is probably just like, maybe I won't even call it a political thing, but you know, the four of you are the stars of the movie, in my opinion, but your billing on IMDb is lower than everyone's else, right? The bigger names kind of go first, like Tara Reid, Bill Moseley, you know, Nathan Jones. And it's like, okay, I understand there's probably more notoriety with those names, so let me put them first so it draws people in. But really, it's you and Sam that really, for me, kind of make the movie and seal the deal. And I think should have some higher billing in that respect.
I think it makes it cooler in a weird way because I was so low in the billing, in the credits. When people watched it or saw the credits, they're like, oh, he's going to have a nice part. You know, he's like seventh on the list or whatever. Like, he's going to have a nice part. But when they sit at the premiere and they're like, dude, you're like in every scene of the film. I know. Yeah. So I kind of downplayed it a little bit. Because obviously, you know, your Bill Moseley's and Nathan Jones's and Payne Hodders and Tara Reid's, they're all going to be right up there. But, I mean, we knew where we stood in the film. I mean, on the call sheet, I think the four of us were first four names in the call sheet. And then I went down the list. But it does, that sort of stuff doesn't bother me. At the end of the day, it's like when you do a TV commercial, if you go around telling everyone or if you tell the world on social media, when the commercial comes out, people are like, oh, yeah, he's talked about this commercial so many times. But if you don't tell anyone and they're sitting at home and they're watching the footy or whatever, and then you come on, they're like, oh, my God, good is, it's Paul. He's on TV. So, yeah, that was kind of cool for me because that, especially my girlfriend and stuff, you know, I didn't sort of tell them, you know, how much of a character.
Got it.
But, Yeah, I've got my own little thing here. I don't know if you can see that, but it's a little figurine. So that's kind of cool. It's signed by the director.
Oh, no. That's so awesome.
You know, when you get a little figurine, it's fun. But yeah.
Heck yeah, you got your own action figure.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Cool, man.
That's actually pretty cool merchandise. This is actually really cool. I know the listeners out here probably can't see what I'm holding up here, but it's actually a VHS of the movie.
Ah, dude, no, I know a few people who would love to get their hands on something like that.
Signed.
You got any extra copies lying around? Come on. I'll pay for the shipping.
There's one thing Chris Dunn's good at, and that's merchandise. He's really good at merchandise. You know, you got bobbleheads and all sorts of things.
Nice.
T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
Okay. So you come on, you're playing opposite Tara Reid, right? Your little high school crush. But then you're also working. Do you get to work? I mean, let me see. I'm trying to think. Did you have any scenes directly with Kane Hodder? Because I know you were on the phone with them at one point, and then he came looking for you guys.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to lie. I'm not coming into this movie. I had done a couple of horror movies, but I wasn't this mad horror personality. I didn't have I didn't know much about horror films. In fact, I didn't even know how to pronounce Jason Voorhees. And I know Chris Sun was giving me a hard time about it. It's like, you're not even pronouncing it right. And you in this movie, you're meant to be a horror, you know, fan. So can't think. So I didn't know much about Kane or Bill Moseley, but they're just so nice, such nice people. Both of them.
Nice.
Really nice people. So for those of you who are listening, Kane Hodder plays
Bill's only in it.
Voorhees.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I like the tie-ins there, right? Because you've got Jason Voorhees in your movie. And then there's a scene where Tara says, oh, he's got a Michael Myers, a Halloween, like a hockey mask or something. And you're like, what? That's a limited edition Jason Voorhees mask. And I just thought it was cool because Jason Voorhees, you know, is in the movie with you guys. So it's kind of cool tie-in with everything.
I'll just jump in there because there is something cool that happened. So, as you know, Kane Hodder is known as Jason, and he's so used to playing Jason. But my character in the movie's name's Jason, right? So I play Jason.
Yeah, I caught that too.
Right, right.
It's really confusing. So there was a scene where Kane Hodder's character comes out looking for us in the barn, and you go, Jason, Natasha, you're in there? And he's looking.
Right.
And it was so funny because his name's Tony in the movie, and Chris would yell, add action, and you go, Tony, Natasha, cut, you're Tony. You're looking for Jason and Natasha. Oh, okay, action.
That's hilarious.
Tony, Natasha, cut. He's Jason. So that was fun.
You know, there is also the standoff where between Kane and the Beast in the movie where they're boxing each other, and it reminded me of Jason Takes Manhattan Part 8, where they're fighting on the top of the skyscraper and boxing it out.
I think Chris,
who knew Jason could box?
Look, Chris Dunn believed that this, you know, Charlie would be a huge horror icon, and how cool would it be to have, you know, Jason versus, you know, Charlie in a film, and he did it. So that was always, I think, a thing for him that he wanted to achieve. But I did have a Jason Voorhees moment because, you know, we've all seen Friday the 13th. I mean, that's the first horror films I remember watching as a kid with one eye open. I'm pretending to be asleep. the guy at the very start of the movie, his name's Justin. He gets his head decapitated at the start of the movie. I think he actually auditioned to play my part in the film. But anyway, I was hanging out with him, and it was a sort of a full moon night, and there was smoke machines going everywhere, so there was fog in the air, and it was just after the fight scene between Kane Hodder and Nathan Jones. And Kane Hodder actually has that limp. That's real. He actually has a limp on him. That's not put on. He actually has this limp. So he's walking back to his
trailer.
He goes, oh, shit, man, I'm going back to my trailer. And he's just walking off into the fog. And I just stand next to Justin. I just went,
yeah.
Boy, he's walking away from us, bro. So, yeah.
How can you not, man? How can you not? Because then you're going to live the rest of your life and be like, I should have done it. I had the perfect opportunity and I didn't do it.
Yeah, there's probably a few things about that car, right, that I probably shouldn't have said. There's obviously a couple of lines from the American Pie movie that, we all like to say. I'm sure she's heard it all the time.
Dude, I don't blame you, man. It's hard to, like, be in front of people that you adore and you're fans of and then to not, like, want to quote their shit just to, like, show them what their body of work is and you love it. It's hard to tuck that in sometimes.
You guys believe in the law of attraction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So 100%. I got invited to the American Pie reunion premiere. It was in Australia because my buddy who I lived with was this TV personality, and he asked me if I wanted to go with him and a few others, and we went. It was cool. And the entire cast of American Pie were there. So you're sitting there watching a movie and you can see Stifler, Tara Reid, all of them, Jason Biggs, whatever his name is, all sitting there. And I remember at the end of the film, my buddy next to me goes, oh, my God, I really want to go meet Stifler. He's my idol. I want to meet him. And I went, I want to meet Tara Reid, bro. So he went off and met Stifler and got a selfie. I was too scared to get a selfie with Tara. And I went down and I just remember going, you're amazing in that film. She's like, thank you. And then 2 years later, we're doing a movie together. What's the odds?
Dude, that's insane, man. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
I told her that and she was like, no, I don't remember.
You're like, man, you can't even lie to me. Like, just lie to me. I don't care. just lie and say you remember. Yeah. Okay, so let's tell all the kids at home. I don't want to do like a full scene by scene walkthrough, but I figure we can just kind of give everybody a general overview of what kind of happens in this movie. And then I figure we can kind of pick and choose our favorite spots or things we want to talk about, because a lot of the kill scenes are really awesome. And I think those are worth talking about too. So Charlie's Farm, as you mentioned, Dean, is a story about four friends who want to go on a camping trip. Two guy best friends. Your character, Jason, is dating an American girl named Natasha, played by Tara Reid, and are best friends with, she's friends with this other girl. Man, I'm so sorry. I don't have her name in front of me.
Melanie in the movie. Melanie.
Yes. Thank you. And so Donkey, your best friend, decides to, like, hey, we should go camping at this place up in Charlie's Farm, this place called Charlie's Farm, right? And, the lore of Charlie's Farm is that years ago, I think it was about 30 years prior, there was this incident that happened, and there's, there's some murders and it's potentially haunted, and, like, it would be kick-ass if we went and, like, slept there somewhere. And your character, Jason's like, yeah, let's fucking do that. But we can't tell the girls because, like, they're not going to want to do it. So, like, we'll just tell them we're going to go. There's going to be horses and fishing and all that shit. And, like, it'll sound nice. And then when we get there, we'll kind of tell them what happened. So you guys leave, right? And then you guys stop at a pub. And Donkey's asking for directions to some of the locals of, hey, you know where Charlie's Farm is? You know how to get to Charlie's Farm? And it's that whole thing of, like, people know, you could tell everybody knows about what's happened at Charlie's Farm, but nobody wants to talk about it. And finally, we come up on a character named Old Blue, who I love that moment where it's, you're trying to talk softly and quietly, but then you have to speak really loud and then everybody shuts up and just, like, looks at you and you're like, oh fuck, I said it too loud, or people are paying attention to me now. And so this is where, you guys are being warned, like, don't go to Charlie's Farm. You don't need to go there. It's unsafe. Just don't go. And Donkey's like, fuck that, we're going, And your character, Jason, is like, dude, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. And it freaks the girls out a little bit, right? And so we see this drive. You guys end up camping in a spot. And then finally, this is where you guys are sitting around the campfire. And we get some backstory on what's happened at Charlie's farm. So Donkey starts telling the story of, hey, you know, 30 years ago, there was this couple that lived there. And, you know, Bill Moseley plays the husband. And there was a husband, a wife, and a son named Charlie. And we see that they're kind of drinking. They're sitting around playing the piano. They're not the tidiest of people, right? The house is a little run down. You're getting some, you know, just kind of, I don't know. The vibe was like these people don't really care for themselves all that well. And then we see that Bill Moseley's character has a woman tied up in the bedroom, on the bed, kind of half naked, you know, shit beaten out of her. And he's talking about how, you know, he's going to do things to her. And she's talking about how he's raped her. And then we start to find out that they are cannibals, right? And he starts talking about how they have plans to eat her. And it's about this time where we see Charlie, right? He's this kid that's off in the corner. He can tell he's malnourished. No one really pays a lot of attention to him. They call him retard, right? They just have no kind of respect for their own child. And the child is just watching all of this shit happen in the house. Well, the locals also find out what's going on too, right? So there's this mob that shows up to the house and they're demanding that Bill Moseley's character tell them what happened to the people that work on this farm. Where are they? Because people show up, but no one ever leaves. We don't ever see anybody leave and there's nobody around. And so they kind of feel too like they're eating the people that are coming around. They have an idea of what's happening. And it's in this exchange where the family's arguing with this mob and the mob's just like not having it. And at a certain point, I think it was Old Blue who just shoots Bill Moseley in the face. You just see his head just fucking explode and go backwards. And it was in that scene where I was like, this is the second Chris Sun movie that I've seen with Bill Moseley. And he's lost his head in both of them. What is it with Chris Sun trying to decapitate Bill Moseley all the time? And it was funny because I met Bill Moseley about 6 or 7 months ago and I told him, man, we just did a recap on Boar. And he's like, oh yeah, I really lost my head in that one. And I was like, good joke. Yeah, absolutely.
Chris Sun actually planted a boar. When we're sitting around the fireplace, Melanie says, what's a boar? And that's when I say it's a pig. So he sort of planted that seed for knowing that he was going to be making a movie called Boar.
I think the way it worked was you guys were talking about a razorback and then she was like, what's a razorback? And you were like, it's a boar.
Yeah.
And obviously, and that's when I was like, oh, is it the same boar?
Yeah, that was. And there was a very big movie called Razorback. A while ago, which was shot in another horror film. So, yeah, which you
haven't. Nice. I gotta check that one out.
Yeah, check it out. Another pig movie.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah, I think there was even a scene towards the end where there was like some roadkill on the side or something, and I couldn't help but wonder if that was like a boar as well, because there was one in the very beginning where there was a kangaroo just kind of laying on the floor.
Yes.
But then later in the movie, there was another one and it looked like a boar. So I was like, I'm going to assume that's a boar. I'm going to say that's a boar.
That was cool. When we were opening the gate, trying to get in through the gate. There's a moment where we can't get the car through a gate. So he's taking a piss and he's like, check this out. And then there's just, as we drive through the gate, there's actually a dead pig on the ground. I don't know if you saw it, but he plants these little. He's a genius.
Is that what that was? I couldn't tell if it was part of like a human body or something, and it was just being overlooked. But I like
that. Everything he does is very, very clever.
Well, he does a good job at it. because I can find it. I'm like, oh, I see it there.
Yep.
Okay, so at this point, the girls are all freaked out, right? They're like, I don't want to go there. Like, why would we want to go there? And your character, Jason's kind of downplaying it. Like, ah, no, it'll be all right. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just, it's fun or whatever. And then the next morning, Natasha's like, hey, we're not really going there, are we? And Jason's like, yeah, we totally are. It'll be fine. It's going to be okay. No one has seen those people, you know, because the mom and the son got away after, you know, at the mob after they killed Bill Moseley, or at least that's what we know of so far. And then your character, Jason, was like, ah, no one has seen those people in 30 years. Although there were some backpackers that kind of disappeared a few years ago, but, you know, isolated incident, maybe, who knows? And then you guys, you know, make your way over to the farm. And then from there, we get more backstory on the whole Bill Moseley cannibal family. And that's that the mob actually catches up to the mom, and the mom hides Charlie away so that they don't find her. And they end up like beating the shit out of her. I think they beat her to death and with like a 2x4. And I was like, man, they're really beating the shit out of this lady. But she does a really good job at hiding Charlie.
She was a brilliant actress in this film. Trudy, the lady who played that actress, the actress that played that character in the film was unbelievable. I thought her performance was fantastic.
Oh, she did a great job. Like,
yeah,
me too. She brings a lot of energy to her character, yeah, and like the type of personality that she's trying to portray. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. Yep. Yeah, she did a really good job.
Yeah.
But so that's it, right? So they kill her and they think that, you know, that Charlie doesn't exist anymore because she kept telling him he died years ago. Like, he's done. He's like, don't even worry about it. So the mob leaves and then Charlie's off on his own. And then we don't really hear more much of the backstory after that, because then your group is then met by another couple who's coming to the same house on the ranch or the farm, because it's Australia. It's a farm.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, we're out here doing the same thing. You know, same thing you guys are doing, all these rumors about Charlie's farm and all the murders and the backpackers that left. And we just wanted to kind of check it out. So I think it's at that point where everybody decides to split up, right? Three groups of two. We're going to pair off. The new couple leaves. Jason and Natasha go their own way. And then
Donkey and Mel.
Donkey and the other girl.
Mel.
Yeah. Correct. Thank you. And they all go.
Yep.
So you know what happens when you split up in horror movies, right? You don't come back.
I just wanted to look.
Even to when it's finger, in groups, man, of two, man.
I just wanted to find a finger. Two. Just a body part. Come on.
Hell yeah. Fucking murder house scavenger hunt. I love it. You got to find a finger, some toenails. Yeah.
Duct tape.
So now that everybody's kind of split off, this is where we get to see Charlie. And Charlie starts picking people off one by one. And I think the first couple he gets to is Mel and Donkey, who are almost skinny dipping in one of the rivers.
Well, he is. He is. She's not. She's in her underwear. But he's like, I'm going for it. He's like, I'm Donkey. Like, why would I not? True.
There's some funny lines in that moment.
I don't remember his death.
But who's death?
Go for it. Sorry. Go for it, Dean.
You don't remember who's death?
No. You were saying the funny lines?
Oh, just some lines.
No, I don't remember Donkey's death.
You don't remember the Donkey death?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Donkey got it jammed. He got his Donkey Dong jammed down his throat.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't know why I missed that part. Because... No, maybe, because I don't know. It said unrated, but I don't remember that part. I just remember seeing Melanie die.
So I'll run it by you. So basically, the guy that plays Donkey, he's actually quite tall. He's like 6'3", 6'4" himself. And he's obviously called Donkey because he's got a huge donger. And when he gets out of the water, butt naked, he's standing in front of Charlie and he looks down and he goes, yeah, it's pretty big, eh? You know, it's like a monster. And he's actually standing in front of a monster. Well, I can't remember the dollar. It was 10 years ago and I watched it. But Charlie with his huge sword-looking thing, he's whatever it is, machete, he just goes, chop, and he chops it off.
Right.
And obviously, Donkey's standing there with no dick and he picks it up and shoves it down his throat and smashes it into his face. So you didn't say that?
Oh, man. And they show the snub. They show the little stub and everything. Like,
the dick goes, you know what? I do remember getting him out of the I do remember him getting out of the water because they show it from like the other side of the lake or whatever. And he gets up and out, and you just see a big old white man ass. And I was like, man, that's a big guy. But I don't remember the kill scene for whatever reason, man. Damn it.
It may be the version.
The version you got, yeah. Because that's the most talked about moment at any. We did a lot of premieres for that film, and that was the most talked about moment in all the. That's the moment. That's the fuck the pie moment. You know, that's the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Son of a bitch.
You have to go back and rewatch that
scene. I'll send you the link that I got. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But then after that is Mel's death, right? Yeah. And that one was cool for me because he ends up like Charlie ends up shoving his fingers into her hand, into her mouth, and then like really kind of grasping onto her lower jaw and just like ripping the shit right off of her face. You're just left with a carcass that's got like just all that missing right there. And it's just all bloody and gutsy and just fucking awesome, man. I loved it.
And
you could tell it was practical effects. No CGI. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. And just to paint a picture in your head, Alira Jakes, who plays Melanie, she's tall as well. She's like 6'1" or whatever it is. She's very tall for a woman. And in that scene, you see Charlie chasing her through the fields, and you can actually get a grasp on how tall Charlie is. Like, he mountains over the top of this woman who's 6'1". That's one of my favorite kills.
He's 6'11"? He's like 6'11", right? Like, yeah, almost 7 foot tall.
I think he was 7 foot in this film because he had these big shoes that sort of made him a bit taller, so...
Boots or whatever? Yeah. Fuck, man. That's so tough.
All I was thinking the whole time I was watching that kill was, how long did his hand have to be in her mouth? Like, just...
When I heard that Nathan Jones was going to be in this film, all I could think about was, hang on a minute, that's the huge guy at the start of Troy when Brad Pitt's running up to him and he's this mountain of a man standing in front of the army going, "Whoa!" And then Brad Pitt stabs him in the neck. He's huge. He's huge.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler.
Immense.
You're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the guy I got to fight? Cool, thanks.
Yeah. He's actually also in Mad Max as well. He's in the new Mad Max Fury Road as well. He just come
the
off.
The Fury him. Road one?
Yeah. Fury Road, yeah. I really like that kill. Yeah. That kill was really good. That I think Alira did really well with that one. And I think Alira, by memory, didn't have much association with Nathan. I think she wanted to keep a distance from him just to keep it sort of real on set to make her performance sort of, you know, not method acting, but just, you know, keep your distance. I mean, we didn't really hang out with Nathan as much anyway because he was sort of staying in a different place. But, I'm not too sure if they hung out as much. A little bit, but not as much. Yeah.
Just another reason why the bad people are bad. They're always all left by themselves. Everybody else is having fun in the other house.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Nathan... So after that is, I think we get the other couple, and their names absolutely escape me because they were not in it for all that long. So it's not like I didn't commit their names to memory on purpose. It was just they weren't around long enough for me to do that.
They were played by David Beamish, was the Ginger Wolverine. So David Beamish was, the Ginger Wolverine.
That's right. Yeah.
And the other girl's name is Janelle. So I've got to go so long ago. God, I'm a terrible person. But yeah, they come into the.
Oh, you remember like it was yesterday, man.
Yeah. I can't remember these people's names because everyone goes by their full names, don't they? Usually.
No, you did. It's good. I just watched it yesterday and I don't remember. So there you go.
There you go.
You were in it 10 years ago.
I like the fact that I'm actually looking at the DVD here and I'm actually, it says all the names and Dean Kirkwright. So I'll take that. When you get someone from, I mean, Tara Reid's from New Jersey. I'm not too sure where Kane Hodder is. I'm probably at LA. I know Bill Moseley's somewhere in America. Nathan Jones was living in Thailand at the time. Sam Cowell was living in Queensland. And Alira Jakes was living in Sydney and I'm in Melbourne. So we're from all over the place. And what that does is when you come home from shooting a movie, what do? You start telling your friends, telling people. So the movies are spreading like wildfire everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's very clever. They marketed this film really well. We're on billboards and buses, and it was quite fun to watch a bus drive past every now and then. You're like, hey. yeah, so very clever. Very clever marketing.
Nice. Yeah, so we didn't even talk about Kane Hodder, you know, Tony fighting Charlie, hint coming to his death. I think he got his throat cut, if I'm not mistaken, right?
So there's a moment in that scene where Kane Hodder actually puts a rusty nail in his eyeball. That's real. That's a stunt.
Oh no! Shit!
That he does
because Charlie's pushing him up against up against the wall or whatever, and there's that nail there, right against his eye. Damn!
And I think that was a passing comment to Chris, where he's like, Kane said, "Can you just get Nathan Jones to punch me in the face?" And I think Chris was like, "Yeah, that's up."
So from there. We also get the death scenes. I mean, so basically at this point, Charlie's just picking them off one by one, right? Everyone's kind of starting to figure out what's happening. You know, your character was out looking for him. And, you know, Tara Reid is, you know, waiting for you to come out of this, like, warehouse. She didn't want to go in there with you, right? She was like, I'm not going in there. There's no way. And so can't. Kane Hodder, you know, gets dealt with, and then the Wolverine, the Ginger Wolverine and his girlfriend get dealt with. And then really we're just down to you and Natasha, to you and Tara Reid. And she finally comes in.
I made it to the end.
Yeah. Second to last, dude.
And I will tell you something too. A lot of people, I think Chris does this with maybe all these movies. I'm not sure, but you only get the scripts that you're needed for. So if you die at the start of the film, you're only going to get a few pages. So I actually didn't get Tara's, did I just give something away then? But I only got to a certain amount of scripts. whereas, you know, and we didn't talk about it either. We went to talk about it. So obviously Donkey's dead. So I couldn't tell Sam Cowell what happens to me because I had that information, but I wasn't allowed to tell him.
Ah.
So he only had up to page 70, whereas I had up to page like 90. So that was kind of cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It keeps it surprising, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to like spoil it amongst the cast or whatever.
It's kind of like the actor from, it's kind of like Justin who was in Beaten to Death. I don't remember. Justin Wagner. And he said to Sam Curtin, I only want my stuff. I don't need the other people's stuff. It's pointless for me to read their stuff. I don't need it.
Interesting.
So. I don't know if you remember Sam saying that.
No, I don't remember. And I'm also trying to remember the Justin who Justin played in the movie.
He was the reason why he got killed, and then
got it.
The other brothers. Anyway, he anybody had to learn that monologue the night before.
That's right.
And that's why he hadn't received that. But yeah, that's off the topic. But yeah, we didn't have. I didn't know how Tara Reid died. In fact, none of us did. Did I just give something away then?
We can edit around it. It's fine. It's fine. So
I'm sure they've seen the movie.
Yeah. And if you haven't, go watch it because it's fucking awesome. And even if you know even if you're, if they were spoiling shit for you or you already know how it ends, just go watch it anyways, because it's still fucking great. Like, who doesn't love a great slasher movie, man? That's what I loved about it. Like, I was reading one of the reviews online, and it said, you know, it's just another fucking campy slasher, just out of the mold. It's like, that's not a negative to me, because it's done so well. You know what I mean? Especially with the practical effects, like Alan was talking about, where it just makes it feel so much more real and raw. I loved it. It's great.
You have to block all that out, because as an actor in a movie, because it doesn't matter what you do, everyone's going to give it a hard time. It doesn't matter if it's Shawshank Redemption, someone out there is going to say, terrible. That maybe was, that acting was terrible. And, you know, it's just, you can't please everyone. And you know what? The vibe you get when you walk out of a premiere or a screening of it live and people coming up, you can tell that they had a good time. That's my main goal, is that people had a good time. And they walk up to you and they're like, oh, my God, and they're talking a million miles per hour. Holy shit, that was amazing. That's what we live for. That's exciting when you see that.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
You know what I noticed is during your death scene, it's the only one that has the touching emotional music that goes with it. Like
Let me tell you something. Oh, you go. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
No. Please.
Delay here. I was just going to say that in a horror film, if you go to a premiere, because everyone who's in the room had something to do with the film. So it was the makeup artist or the soundie or the actors or whatever. So there's a lot of laughing and giggling, and you know, the fans are there, especially in horror films. There's a lot of laughing. You know, it kind of makes you feel better about it when there's a murder happening up on screen. But that's fun. We're laughing. But in all the death scenes in Charlie's Farm, everyone was laughing, but I did feel that when I died on screen, the whole room just went, holy shit, shit just got real. Holy crap. This guy I didn't think many people saw me getting killed.
But you were like, like the second to last, you know, like you're almost there. You almost made it. But when that death happened, it was like, now all hope is lost. Mm-hmm. Not that 8 other people haven't already ate it to the movie, but like that was the death where it was like, that's it. All hope's lost.
So for all you, for the people who haven't seen it, so basically me and Charlie have this sort of one-on-one fight. I feel like I can take him. I can take you. and he basically wrestles me to the ground and turns me around into a headlock and slices my neck really slowly. And I think what Chris was going for, and I don't know if you got this version, because I don't know if you got the good version or not, but then he pulls my head back and then all the shit just gushes out of my neck. You can just see the light coming out of my eyes. Did you get that version?
Yeah.
That's the version I saw.
You got that version.
So, how did I not get the donkey scene? And that was the moment. What the fuck?
Maybe you went to go get a drink when some ass was on the TV. And you're like, ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, no thanks.
But in that scene, I do remember, just, and I think Chris was impressed by me for doing this, is I just kept to myself, put some music on in my ears for a few hours and just sort of kept to myself. I didn't, because there's a lot of, you know, by this time we're all friends, everyone's best mates, and you're laughing and joking around. And I just wanted to be very serious about this. And then, Chris came around the corner and said, it's your turn. And I do remember after we did the first take, he just went, cut, beautiful, Dane, beautiful. Or something like that. He said something like that, and it was good for me, because it's very hard for a male to die on screen without it looking stupid.
How do you figure?
If you know what I mean.
No.
So a lot of males in bad horror films, you know, they don't know how to do it, but there's a lot of death scenes by males, and it can look really, really bad. And I didn't want to be screaming like a little bitch kind of thing or doing any of that. I just wanted to take it like a man and let the life come out of me. So it was better not to say anything or scream or anything like that. Because I'm pretty sure if you had a knife in real life to your neck and it's getting chopped, you'd be screaming your head off. But I don't think it would look good. It wouldn't adapt well on screen. Yeah. It wouldn't come across. It'd be quite annoying, I think.
I get it.
Yeah, so I just wanted to sort of,
It felt real.
Bring it back.
It was good.
See, now that, you've said that, I'm gonna be hyper focused on watching men die on screen and like looking for, did he die? Like, how did he die? Did he do it well? Did he not do it well? Now I'm just gonna be fixated on that.
Yeah, that was one of the things Chris said to me too when I auditioned for it. He goes, I've had a lot of problem with a lot of the actors that have auditioned for the film. It doesn't look good. It's there. I know it's an audition and they're nervous and all that sort of stuff, but it just doesn't, it's not working. You know, it's hard. Maybe I've just heard this before and I'm just repeating what I've heard before, but that's what I've heard. Like, yeah, it's men dying on screen is a hit and a miss sort of thing. It's not easy. It's not easy, but anyway, it was a lot of fun and it was a good vibe. And that whole scene was really intense because a lot of things were happening, which I can't talk about, but there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes in that night. And there was a lot of tension in the air with a few people and nothing bad. It all got solved, but it was one of those rough nights. Mm. And it didn't help that I had to do a scene where I grabbed Tara Reid by the face and go.
It looked like it was like a working mine shaft or something that you guys were working in. Like it was dark. It looked cool. It looked real cool. So, like it created a cool effect.
I can't take credit for any of that, but they did a lot of work to this film. I mean, they built that Charlie's house. They had to rebuild that whole house, Charlie's house, because they had to be. Because when they go back to Bill Moseley's scenes, they had to have a full house, not a rundown old house from 30 years ago.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I mean, one of the most important people in this production was Stephen Boyle, who did the prosthetics and makeup.
Dude, so good, man.
He did the prosthetics, and a lady called Natalie did the makeup. How good were the prosthetics?
Oh, 100%. We just did an interview with this production company named RFN Pictures, RFN Pictures, and they put out a short called Blood Gorge, and I think it's going to be available on YouTube soon if it isn't already. So if I get the link, I'll send it over to you. It's like 40 minutes, but the practicals in it, all the death and the gore is done by one of the cast members named Katie, and her last name escapes me at the moment. But in talking with the director, Victor, he was saying that Katie went to the Tom Savini school because he has his own school where he teaches practicals and all that stuff. And so you can really tell, like when he said that, it made total sense because of just like the level of graphic nature and like blood and attention to detail. You're like, yep, that looks good. And then in watching Charlie's Farm, I got the same vibe of like, this is someone who really knows what they're doing with the practical effects, because especially that scene where, you know, the jaw's getting ripped off by, you know, Melanie's jaw's getting ripped off. Like it looks so seamless and natural and real. And that's always hard to pull off because obviously it's not, right? We didn't rip her jaw off for reals, but it sure looked like it. And that to me, when you can tell it like that, that's how you know it's really good.
Well, even I had prosthetics on my neck. So when he's slicing my neck, that was actually all prosthetics there. So,
and so much,
Stephen Boyle, if you get a chance,
so
yeah,
IMDb. So much blood that. Came from your neck, that whole scene. It just poured out.
A couple of people sitting behind me.
Just like pumping it out or whatever? Yes.
And I remember, So, and I know Chris wasn't a big fan of sort of showing you, because sometimes when you work on a film, you can stand behind the director and watch the playback, because they just quickly check the playback just to make sure, make sure that it worked.
Yeah.
But I don't think Chris was a fan of showing the actors, because they don't need to see it. The actors don't need to see it. I'm the director, so if I like it, I'm going to put it in the movie. So, that was going back to that. Yeah. That kill scene, it was just, there was a moment where I just wanted so badly to see, because I couldn't, I've obviously got wires and people sitting there, and I just wanted to go behind the director just to make sure it was, because this is my moment in the film, I wanted to make sure that it was working, and I just had to trust that it was.
So. Yeah. I know there's a level of like, hey, you don't need to see it, but also at the same time, I want to see it, you know, like I would love to be able to stand here and watch it all get done, but you know, directors call the shots. So, you know, it is what it is.
I think directors are probably sick of actors going, oh yeah, we need to do it again. We need that. That was my bad side. Let's go again. And I think directors don't need to hear that, you know, like,
trust the process.
So yeah, Stephen Boyle did. And you know, so when we first got to the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, myself, Tara Reid, and Alira Jakes got put up in this real fancy sort of hotel, which was like a 5-star hotel. And Nathan Jones as well. He actually was above me. I could hear him walking around. Boom, boom, boom. He was walking around above. And the rest of the crew and cast were shooting in remote Australia. We're all on this sort of like, you know, when you go on a school camp and you're all like in this one big sort of campsite building. So they were all sort of there. Yeah, which was a bit closer to set. And I remember after the first couple of days, I was just like, I hit up the producers and I was like, I think I want to give up my 5-star living and go and live on the campsite with the gang. Sam Coward was there. And I feel like I need to be involved over there and hang out with Sam so we can look real, you know, become more friendship. I remember giving up my room for Stephen Boyle because I was like, I feel like he needs this more than me. Stephen Boyle who did the makeup and the prosthetic. So, yeah, it was quite interesting because when they were bumping him in, that's what they call it, they bumped him in, they were bringing all his prosthetics and dead bodies and the guy who died on Bill Moseley's bed. just getting bumped into my room. All these corpses and so, yeah, anyway. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, yeah, that's kind of the tail end of the movie, right? So Charlie comes in, finds you guys, takes you out first, and then we're just left with Tara Reid. And she's, you know, running away from him, and she ends up picking up a rifle, and he's getting close to her, and she ends up shooting him, and he falls out. Right. And she thinks that, you know, hey, I shot him. He fell down. He's dead. Great. Now I can get away. And she's trying to break into this truck or to this car so she can get away. And then lo and behold, here he is. He gets up, takes a rifle, shoves it right through her torso, picks her up, walks off, roll credits. It's like, damn. And I got to say, between that and the Sam Curtin stuff, I don't know if it's an Australia thing, but like, so far from those movies, from those directors, they do a really good job at just like getting to the point at the end. This is over, roll credits. You know, it doesn't drag on. There isn't like really kind of anything else thereafter. It's just, this is the end and then we're done. And I love it because it just kind of leaves it where it's at.
Looking under your bed at night.
Yeah. And one of the things my buddy said the other day is he goes, why did everyone die? I was hoping there'll be a survivor. Because I think as audience members, we want a survivor. Everyone wants a feel-good ending. And I think the way Chris' son looked at it was there's going to be part two, part three, part four. And this guy's just, you know, the real hero is Charlie. You know, it's a bit like, you know, those Saw movies or whatever, no one wins in the end. It's
right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's cool too, because the premise of the story is that there's this place that people want to come to. So you don't have to have the same actors in the sequel. You know, you can have a whole new set of people who show up to the farm.
Yep.
And you got another movie all over again, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Man, and that's the prosthetic they added on his spine, where he had this wicked like scoliosis thing peering out of his back. It was wild.
Yeah, that was cool. And that kangaroo sort of outfit he was wearing, that was designed for the film.
Nice.
So that was all. They didn't just see that in op shop and say, "Oh, let's grab that." they designed that for the film, which was awesome. And so much work went into this film. So much work. So they should really pat themselves on the back. I mean, yeah. And I think
on what was reported is just a $2 million budget.
No, I don't. I think it was a bit higher. I'm pretty sure it was, but I'm not sure. I mean, it could have been. But me being cast in this film, I think the way Chris looked at it was like, okay, I've got all these stars. Why do I have to have a big star to be the leading man? Why can't I just get an up-and-coming and make him sort of, you know, help drive his career to a, you know, bigger and better place? So I think that's where that's why he sort of went for myself. Someone who can carry a film, but also someone who, you know, let's kick someone else's career off. Why not? And I think Chris has done this a lot with a lot of these actors, you know, coming through the ranks.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's something that I get to talk about forever.
The other side of that I could see too is that, you know, if you get too big of a name and you put them in the driver's seat, then really people just kind of hyper focus on that character, where maybe that's not the intent. I want everybody to be, I want the audience to like and to get to know all of these characters. And I don't want people just fixated on the superstar that is this A-list actor. You know what I mean? Let's spread it around a little bit and let's get everybody involved with these characters.
And just on that, going back to the very start of the film when Tara Reid came at the very last minute because she had problems with getting into the country and flights, and she got there late and delayed or whatever. You got to remember, we were so excited to have Tara Reid because she's a big star, and you know there's nerves flying at our end. You got to remember, this girl is coming into another country on the other side of the planet, and she's doing a movie, so she's nervous as well,
right?
Even though she's the star.
Yeah.
So when she rocked up, there was just nerves flying around everywhere. We're nervous, she's nervous, everyone's nervous, and that's why I feel like the very first scene we shot, I'd love to shoot that again last, just because now we're all best mates at the end of the film. I'd love to go back. I would have loved to have gone back to that pool scene and just reshot it, and obviously it works. Doesn't matter, so it works anyway. But it's like that with every film. You just want to shoot that first scene like again last. So now all the nerves have gone and it's gone. So yeah.
So what were some of your favorite moments from being on the set and filming this thing?
It was definitely a lot of hard work. So favorite moments, geez, okay. There's lots of exciting moments. It was a lot of work. I know it was a lot of work. So there was a lot of moments where I was under the pump as well. So I had to keep focus because you can have fun, but then you're going to go, hang on a minute. I've got lines to do tomorrow. I've got 10 scenes. So I'm going to go home and, you know, focus on, and I've got to look good too. I can't just, you know, go home and get pissed and drink alcohol all night because I'm going to have my head right for the next day. I think just hanging out with everyone, just the crew, because we lived in this sort of campsite, this school campsite, we all became really close. And it was, you know, you talk about the day and you become sort of friends with everyone. Me and Chris Sun have stayed friends. We're still hanging out, and the last time I saw Chris was because he lives in a different state, but he came down and we did a thing at a haunted place. We shot a documentary type thing.
Nice.
At a haunted psychiatric hospital type thing, and he put me in a straitjacket. I can't really talk about that sort of stuff anyway, so maybe I should talk about that sort of stuff, but that was
sounds like a good time though.
Not many people would have done it, but I did it. I put myself in a straitjacket and got put into this place called the Bull Pit at 12 o'clock at night with no light. You know, obviously there's no lights or anything, and it's haunted. It's one of the most haunted places in Australia, and I went in there with the straitjacket on.
Nice.
It looks like it's still
Before I went in there, I got told that there's this man that comes out and whips you on the back with a belt. So that was fun. So here I'm thinking that there's gonna be this man that's gonna come behind me and whip me on the back with his belt. But anyway, I can't talk too much about that, but yeah. Anyway, I guess it's just fun. It was exciting. Nice, and I guess what's fun about it is the film never ends when you wrap up a production, because then the film comes out and then you get to talk about it more, and then 10 years later you're doing podcasts.
There you go. You know, it's people like us are going to keep it alive and running and well.
People got to watch this one because it's a good one.
It would have been cool if we had a few other guys on the podcast.
Yeah, you know, that's always fun because then, you know, everybody's got different stories, different perspectives, different experiences. But, you know, we always love having you on. So you're good enough for us, Dean.
Oh, thanks. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. I have to do another movie now so I can do another podcast with you guys.
You know what I got to say? I will say this. The one thing that I love that you bring, because this is the third time you sat with us, and I appreciate that. Thank you for spending time with us. But every time you do, you've always got something in the background that relates to the topic, right? And I can't help but see the Charlie's Farm Blu-ray back there.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got the bobblehead.
Yeah.
There's the bobblehead. I don't know if you can see that.
That is so cool.
Charlie. This is really good for the listeners. You can't really see it, but that's Charlie's. I got it all. I'll get to keep it, and it's like at the end of the day, it's the biggest film I've ever done. So, it's fun. So
nice, man. Do you have a room set up with all like the memorabilia from all the movies you've done?
No, because we have a 3-year-old. So if that was the case, it'd be like this big horror room.
Alan knows all about that.
I could relate. I have a 4-year-old, so I'm watching this with between nap times and.
All right.
So what do you got coming up?
At the moment, there's nothing. There is something coming, but I don't really know much about it, so there's no point talking about it. But I can tell you that it's. Probably going to be do you have Amazon?
Yeah.
You got Amazon. Yeah. Amazon Prime type show.
Absolutely.
And there'll be a few stars involved. And once again, I get to play the protagonist. Oh, that's an exciting thing. I love protagonist roles. Bring it on.
You're my hero, Dean.
But I don't know much about it, so I can't really say much, but I know that there's a few names attached. So
okay.
Well, let's just leave it at that because I have no idea. I know I've got an idea, but I don't want to say much because, it's very early stages.
Well, we'll keep an eye out. I'm sure
we'll do a podcast and talk about it in the next time.
Hell yeah. And we're always following you on Instagram and trying to keep up as much as possible. So I'm sure we'll see it somewhere down the road.
Bananas. All right. Well, on that note, are we wrapping it up?
I think the connection's getting a little wild and it sounds like you're someone's calling for your attention. So it's all good, man.
Someone needs to get a bullet.
All right, brother. Thanks for spending some time with us, man. Love hanging out with you. And we'll do it again sometime soon.
All right.
See you later. Later, man.
Bye. See ya.
See ya.